Woo! Well, hello, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord. God is so good. And, you know, you think about this time last year, or even 2 years ago, about how far God has brought us. And so always think about that and give him praise, always. Well, greetings, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sandy Pope, and I serve Bridgeway as the Associate Pastor of Discipleship. I'm so excited to be sharing the Word of God with you today. I'd like to thank our Senior Pastor, Dr. David Anderson, who is resting on sabbatical, for the opportunity to speak with you. And as always, I give thanks to Almighty God, because without him, absolutely none of this would be possible. Amen. So today I'm going to be talking to you from the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. Jesus tells four parables in Mark chapter 4, and they're all about being rooted in Jesus. And a parable, just in case someone doesn't know what that is, it's a story where Jesus used analogies and comparisons that had a heavenly meaning. And so they expressed a gospel truth to people. And sometimes that gospel truth was outwardly expressed, and sometimes there was a little bit of a riddle in there. And that kind of describes the parable of the sower. It's like someone who is talking to you directly. They're standing right in front of you, right? But then you wonder, are they talking about me? Are they talking about my situation? Have you ever gone to a sermon where you heard the pastor preach and you wonder if they know about your situation? Well, that kind of describes the parable of the sower. And if a person is listening and they don't pay attention to what's being said, it'll be lost forever. But if they chew on it for a little while, it just might take root and change their lives forever. And this describes this parable. This parable is shared in Matthew chapter 13 also, and in Luke chapter 8, but I like the version in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus shared this parable with the masses of an analogy of who is rooted in him and who is not. And it's similar to those big altar calls at those Billy Graham revivals. You remember those? He would give a big revival at a stadium, and he would give a really heartfelt invitation at the end of that message that he preached. And then hundreds of people would come forth saying, yes, yes, I want to give my life to Jesus. And the message goes out, people raise their hands, they go forth, they make a profession of faith. This happens many times at Bridgeway. But do you know that very few of those people who made that indication that they accepted Christ will not ever become rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ? And this is the parable of the sower. So without further ado, let's get into the soil. And please turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And for those of you who may not know what that is in the, it's the second book of the New Testament. I'm on page 1521. All right, when you get there, say amen. I love technology, you know, because it's like you're right there. All right, so I'm going to read starting from verses 1 through 9. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat on it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on land. And he was teaching them things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, I'm going to stop right there, because this is a very important word. This word listen in the Greek is akouo. Can you say that? Akouo. Akouo means to listen with great attention, because I'm getting ready to say something of very great importance. Akouo. So when your kids don't listen to you, akouo. So he says, listen, behold, a sower went out, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell on thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell on good soil and produced grain growing and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. That just means 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times of what was originally sown. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Interestingly, that word hear also means akouo. So between the next verse of scripture that I'm going to share, where Jesus explains the parable, he has a conversation with his disciples. And they're like, Jesus, why don't you just say what you're going to say? Why do you speak in these parables? It's so confusing. No one understands what you're saying. But Jesus had a strategy and a reason behind why he was speaking in that way. Jesus knew the hearts and the motivations of the people who were in the crowds. Some people came to hear him talk like they were coming to hear a rock star sing. Really. So some people in the crowds were skeptics. Some were preoccupied with what Jesus would do rather than the gospel knowledge that he was dropping. So in this instance, he wanted to reveal the true meaning of the kingdom of God to those who would truly receive it by faith. And then we go on to verse 13 through 20. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes it away, the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with great joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. So let me describe some of the things that were being explained in this parable. So who is the sower? In this particular parable, the sower is none other than Jesus Christ himself. But the act of sowing also symbolizes the work of evangelism, of sharing the gospel. So what does the seed represent? Jesus said the seed is the word of God. And so what do the four soils represent? The four soils symbolize the condition of the human heart when it hears the word of God and its response to the word of God, the path, the rocky ground and the thorns and the good soil. Only one soil in the parable responded correctly, and that's the good soil. And I'll explain further why the others did not. The roots represent a heart that is genuinely changed by faith in response to hearing the word of God, who consistently stays rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and bears fruit. Doesn't mean that that particular heart doesn't have problems or things to overcome, but they stay rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I read this parable about 25 times. You know, if you ever preach or teach, it's a good habit to read what you're going to be preaching and teaching about at least 25 times, because things will jump at you, out at you. Do you know what jumped out at me? Jesus is a really bad farmer. He's throwing this seed all over the place. It's going on paths and rocky places and thorns, and only some of it is going in good soil. And you might be thinking, is he sowing this seed haphazardly without any rhyme or reason? Especially spreading the seed in places where he knows it cannot form deep roots on the path, in the rocks, in the thorns. Now, if it was me and I was thinking logically, I'd just throw the seed in the good soil and keep it moving, right? But there's a reason for this. We have to consider it this way. God's word has to be heard by everyone, no matter the condition of that heart. God's word, he wants to be known. He wants to make himself known to everyone. And so God sows the seed impartially and indiscriminately. And if Jesus is the sower and the seed is the word of God, the preaching of God's word will never be a waste of time, right? Because Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word is going to go out and it's going to accomplish whatever it pleases, and that it will not turn back what? Hallelujah. It will not turn back void. In addition, God, again, is going to make sure that he is revealed to every single person, because God loves every single person. You know, before I became a believer in Jesus Christ, I remember someone just coming up to me saying, Jesus loves you. And it was just so powerful. God loves each and every person. He says in 2 Peter 3:9 that he is not willing that any should perish, but that every single person comes to repentance. And as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might meet people who have hard hearts. We might meet people who are in rocky and sticky situations, but they also need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't know the heart, but we still sow the seed, knowing that somebody else is going to come behind and water it, and then praying that God will give the increase. So we also must sow the seed impartially and indiscriminately. And if that seed is ultimately rejected and does not take root, then that person is without excuse, as it says in Romans 1:20. Now, because this parable is dealing with the hearts of humanity, let's have a heart-to-heart really quickly. So in truth, the heart wants what the heart wants. Now, of course, the human heart is the mechanism that keeps blood flowing in our bodies and keeps us alive. But symbolically, it represents the epicenter of the essence of humanity's motivations, thoughts, and emotions. It's associated wildly with affection. And while we see these very beautiful things come out of the heart, there is another side altogether, because the heart wants what the heart wants. And the longings of the heart are often contrary to the will of God. Jeremiah 17:9 says this. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" In other words, since the fall of humanity, hearts have been impacted on the deepest level. Our minds, our emotions, our desires are all tainted by sin, and we are blind to just how pervasive and how dangerous the problem is. Here's what Jesus said about the fallen condition of our hearts in Mark 7:21 through 23. He says, "From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a person." Our biggest problem is not external, it's internal. All of us have a heart problem. All of us have a heart condition. And this is what Jesus was trying to explain to the crowd listening to the parable of the sower. They had a heart condition that prevented them from being rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And only one out of four of them listening would respond to the cure, would respond to the antidote of sin. So today, I'm going to explain to you these different heart conditions, So I will not only be serving as your pastor, but your spiritual cardiologist. So let's talk about the hard heart. This is the seed that fell along the path. It says it again in Mark 4:15, and these are those along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them, the hard heart. Listen, a hard-hearted person is not necessarily a mean person. They may be kind, they may be loving, but their heart is hard toward hearing and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know there's an actual medical condition called atherosclerosis? Athero means paste or plaque, or any medical professionals here in the house know what I'm talking about. It means a paste or a plaque or a mush, and then sclerosis means hardening. So it's an actual hardening of the arteries, and it prevents blood from getting to the heart, which keeps a person alive. In a similar way, this is what is spiritually happening when the gospel does not take root in a person's heart. They may be present when the gospel is presented and when the gospel is proclaimed, but they choose not to akuo, not to hear, not to listen. They have decided that they don't need to hear it. In effect, it does not permeate their soul in any kind of way. And then, as the seed is being dropped, the evil one is standing there just watching it and hardening that person's heart, and then he snatches it away like it was never even there. So the word of God does not take root, but other things do. Pride, anger, narcissism, selfishness, resentment, and hurt. Some hearts are not hard because a person, again, is hateful. Some hearts are hardened because of pain and disappointments and distress that they've experienced in life. So if there's a person listening here today and your heart is hard, I want to sow a seed. Don't let the evil one take it away from you. It's an invitation by Jesus. He says this. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And he'll give you a new heart in exchange for your hard heart. Here's what it says in Ezekiel 36:26. "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." He will give you a spiritual heart transplant, and you'll never be the same again. You'll have eternal life. Amen? Amen. But in order to receive this heart and be rooted in Christ, you have to surrender your hard heart. Jesus will do the procedure for you. You have to surrender the hard heart. But those who continue to resist the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know what scripture says? It says that person will have a reprobate mind, meaning that their heart will get harder and harder and so resistant to the gospel that they just become so spiritually blind and deaf. No good that they've done in their lives will be able to remove the stain of sin in their lives. It says in Ephesians 2:8-9 that we are saved by grace through faith, and that this is not from ourselves, that it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And in life, if they resisted the gospel and death, they will get perhaps what they did not intend, perhaps what they did not want or imagine or took seriously when warned, which is eternal separation from God in a place called hell that is never-ending torment. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Akuo. Somebody say akuo. Akuo. All right. So next I want to talk about the shallow heart. This is the seed on rocky ground. Jesus says in Mark 4:5 that this seed did not have much soil. So it's stating that it didn't have anything of substance to make it take root because it was on shallow ground. So listen, partial faith and trust in Jesus Christ does not equal complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ, which does not equal rooted. I'm going to say it again. Partial faith and trust in Jesus Christ does not equal complete faith in Jesus Christ, which does not equal rooted. It's like somebody saying, I'm a little bit pregnant. Does that make sense? And it applies to this instance as well, saying I'm a little bit Christian, I'm a little bit saved. You got to be all the way. It's all or nothing with God. But sadly, many people reside here. They enjoy all of the tactile benefits of Christianity, but they never pick up their cross to follow Jesus. They have a profession of faith, but no possession of faith. Here's what Jesus says in Mark 4, 16 and 7. He says, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. The shallow heart is enthusiastic about the word of God, but only for a little while. And that is until trouble comes or their faith is tested, and then they fall away. In other words, they have a superficial acceptance of Jesus Christ. Very shallow, not deep at all. One might ask, is this person just a baby Christian? According to the parable of the sower, no, they are not a Christian at all. They are not a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, I remember in 1992 when I was in college, I indicated at a church service that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, when in truth, I walked out of the church the same way I walked in. But I had this form of holiness. And I remember going back to my college apartment and telling my college roommate, Alicia, who's now a believer in Jesus Christ, by the way, I remember telling her that she ought to come to church. And she started asking me questions. Why? How do you know this? How do you know that? And my faith was so shallow that she dismantled that thing within minutes. And I quickly fell away. And this accurately describes many of the people and crowds who were listening to Jesus speak this parable. They were captivated by the things that Jesus did, like performing miracles and healing the sick. But they were fans of Jesus, not followers of Jesus. They were not willing to partake in his suffering. And in today's day and age, it would be the equivalency of someone being captivated by the church experience, by the charisma of the preaching, the worship music that evokes excitement and emotion. But they are not listening to the gospel truth that is being preached. They are not listening to the words of the gospel truth that are being sung. And there is no desire to ever want to be in this word. There is no desire to pray unless they're in trouble. They are rooted in the church experience, but Christ and his word are never rooted in their hearts. And when it's time to stand for Jesus, they just take off. And here's the dangerous and sad part. Because there is no root, they don't know how to look to the hills from whence their help comes from. They don't know how to wait on the Lord in times of trouble. They don't know that they are in God's hands where no one can pluck them out. And so when trouble comes, this is the sad and dangerous part, they revert to the things that they are rooted in. Addiction, bad relationships, astrology, psychics, other false truths. As it says in Mark 4, 6, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, since it had no root, and it withered away. And listen, where there is no root, there is no relationship with Jesus Christ, and there is no fruit, and there is certainly no foundation. So what is being listened to? Their feelings, their emotions, what makes them feel good? Is it a show for them? You know, there are schools of thought that say we have to make this gospel message very appetizing and pleasing to the culture. Have you heard of that? Some call it progressive Christianity. This is very dangerous, and this is why it's so important to preach the pure and unadulterated gospel. In season, out of season, when it's popular, when it's unpopular, when it's convenient, and when it's inconvenient. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ does not conform to the culture. We inject ourselves into the culture. And yes, amen. We inject ourselves into the culture and spread the word of God without being timid, but being bold and standing for him. Here's a quote that I want to share with you from John Piper. I think it's very important. He says, if you alter or obscure the biblical portrait of God in order to attract converts, you don't get converts to God. You get converts to an illusion. This is not evangelism, but deception. You know, the church has a part in playing and creating shallow Christianity. We get false conversions. We get easy believism. We get shallow, unrooted hearts. And we were teaching people that this is okay. It's good enough Christianity. It's like a diet soda. You know, all of the taste, but you know, all of the no calories, but really nasty aftertaste, right? So the next heart I want to talk to you about is the crowded heart. This is the seed among thorns. I call this the crowded heart because of the number of occupants trying to reside within that heart. Here's what it says in Mark 22. As for the seed that was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. One of the things that can deceive the heart more than anything is the love of money, the love of status, the love of things, the love of wealth, and the love of power. Now, I'm not talking about entrepreneurial people or industrial people who work very hard and become wealthy. I'm talking about people who love money so much where it becomes their God. Now, it can be other things too. And it's not just having these things, but it's also being consumed by them and loving them above all else. But you know, when Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of God." Those who are ready to become spiritually bankrupt and let Jesus deposit into their account. So these people who love their money, they are looking at a man who appears to be poor, telling them about a kingdom that's like a great treasure, because they are thinking in the temporal and not in the eternal. So it just doesn't add up for them. So emphasis is being placed on the incomparable, priceless gift of eternal life. But it's like that show, Let's Make a Deal. Do you remember that show? Monty Hall, there are two doors, and you choose behind what's behind door number one, number two, number three. But in this instance, you can see what's behind each door. And the person still chooses wrong. They still choose money and possessions because those things have become their idol. Something important to know about idols. It's something that you give your worship to, something that you worship more than you worship God himself. But idols do not have the power to save. Amen. And idols will never, ever love you back. No matter how much you love that idol, it will never love you back. And not everyone who is obsessed with having lots of money is rich. Here are two extremes. So the first deception that a person might have is that they are rich, and they are obsessed with becoming even more rich. In this instance, they are rooted in the deception that money is their security and identity. Here's the second deception. This is a person who is not rich, but they are very, very obsessed with becoming rich. They may gamble heavily. They may get involved in get-rich-quick schemes. And as soon as they get some money, it just slips through their fingers. And no matter how many times they hit rock bottom, it's on to the next hustle onto the next screen, onto the next scheme. And so in this instance, this person is rooted in the deception that money is their joy because they can use it to buy things that make them happy. But Jesus said this. He said, you cannot serve two masters, both God and money. You will either love one or you will hate the other. He also said, what would it profit anyone if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? So to the person who has the crowded heart, when you hear the word of God today, who will you evict from your heart? The things that you have come to idolize or God? Who will take root in your heart, God or the love of money? Here's what it says in 1 Timothy 6 through 10. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and guess what? We cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these things we will be content. But those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation and to a snare and to many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. For the person with the crowded heart, there's your seed. Now I want to talk about the last soil, and this is the rooted heart. This is the seed that fell on good soil. So here's what Jesus says in Mark 4:20. He said, but those that were sown on good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. They receive eternal life, and they bear fruit. So first point I want to make is good soil does not mean good person. Good soil does not mean good person. The good soil symbolizes the heart that has listened to the word of God and recognized through the power of the Holy Spirit that they are not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, but are rooted and grounded in sin. And no matter how much they try to dig themselves out, they just go deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. There is now understanding of just how depraved their heart is. And so they turn toward repentance, which is a godly sorrow where you agree with God that you have sinned against him. Previously, if they heard the gospel on other occasions, they may have had a hard heart, they may have had a shallow heart, or they may have had a crowded heart. And the rooted heart, the seed, has finally fallen on fertile ground. Do you know how a seed germinates in soil? So germination is the process in which a seed wakes up from its dormant state and it starts to grow. But there are three important things that this seed needs in order to grow, to take root: air, water, and warmth. Now, the same process applies to the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. Air is needed. The breath of God gives life. It says in Job 33:4 that the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. They need water. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It says this in Isaiah 58:11, and says the Lord, and the Lord will guide you and continually and satisfy your desire and scorch places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of waters whose waters do not fail. And warmth, staying connected to the vine, staying connected to God, drawing closer to him so that he draws closer to you. Think of what it says in John 10. Jesus says that we are in his hands where no one or nothing can pluck us out. And the 30-fold and the 60-fold and the 100-fold, those are not material blessings. That's fruit that we bear through the power of the Holy Spirit. Think of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so that is the rooted heart. Now, before I give an invitation, I want to share four practical applications with you. Listen. What did we say listen meant? Akuo. All right. So if you were listening, what were the hearts we talked about? Okay, what was the first one? What was the second one? What was the third one? What was the fourth one? Oh my gosh, you guys are listening. You guys are quiet. Nobody's listening. Thank you. All right. So listen. Listen. So the seed will not be snatched away. Next, receive genuinely and not superficially. Receiving genuinely and not superficially. Three, focus on Jesus. Don't let other things try to occupy your heart. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And four, respond to the call of salvation. There was a king in 2 Kings. His name was Josiah, King Josiah, 2 Kings 22. King Josiah's father was a man named King Aman. And King Aman was not a godly man. He worshiped idols, and he put idols in the temple in Israel. But King Josiah, when his father died, he wanted to rebuild the temple. And so one of his secretaries found the book of the law. And he was looking for some of the money from the treasury. And they said, we found the money of the treasury, but we also found this book. And his secretary started reading the book of the law, to King Josiah. And he was so overcome with emotion that he ripped his clothes and immediately dropped to repentance. And then he called the whole people of Judah to repentance. And then he tore down all the idols and said that this place will be a godly place. Good soil. So I want to sow a seed today among you. And here it is, the seed that I'm sowing, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. All people are born with a sinful nature. Because of the fall of humanity, all people are born as sinners. And there is nothing that we can do in our own strength to atone for our own sins. There's nothing that we can do to stop sinning. And there's nothing that we can do because of our sinful nature to restore our relationship with God. So through God's unfailing love for us, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. Jesus Christ, who was sinless, perfect, 100% God and 100% man, to be an atoning sacrifice for me and for you and for the entire world. And listen, Jesus' death on the cross was not because he got in with the wrong people. It says in John chapter 10 that He willingly laid His life down. He said, I lay my life down, and no one takes it from me, and I will raise it up again on the third day. And then 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin and death once and for all. And those who repent of their sins and are rooted and place their complete faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord and Savior are forgiven of their sins forever, and they receive eternal life. You know, I think of my story. 1983, I heard the gospel at 15 years old, and my heart was hard. I didn't receive it. 1992, I told you about that one. I had a shallow heart, and so I had a religious form of Christianity but was not rooted. 1995, the gospel came to me again, but my heart was crowded, and so there was no room for Jesus. And then in 1998, Whew. You know, I remember that day because I was at my friend's birthday party, and I just remember everyone was having fun, and I was just sitting there contemplating about my life and how far away from the things of God that I had gotten. And I started to bargain with God. I said, Lord, if I give my life to you, will you get me out of this bad relationship? And God was like, no, that's not enough. God, if I give my life to you, I will start going to church more regularly. No, that was not enough. God, if you will help me, I will just give you my life. Ding, ding. That was it. And so the next day was Sunday, and I remember church started at 11, and I woke up late, so I literally had like 30 minutes to get dressed and get to church. And then the same pastor who gave me the invitation in 1992 was the same one, Pastor James Johnson, standing at the front, and he said, who would like to give their lives to Jesus Christ today? And I'm telling you, I think I knocked people down just to get to the front. And, oh, it was so amazing. But today is July the 23rd, 2023, and the word has been sown. So everyone listening who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus, is your heart hard, shallow, or crowded? Because at the end of your life, you will be either standing in front of God your Father or God your judge. And you might say, you know, Sandy, you know, that's your truth. And it's something that it's true to you. Well, it's not my truth. It's God's truth. You might say, Sandy, you know, I'm not good enough. I've done so many things. I don't think Jesus would accept me. No matter what your past has been, and no matter what you've done, Jesus loves you. And listen, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive in him. Amen? Someone might be thinking, well, you know what? I've done good things in my life. We already said it is for by grace you have been saved, and this is not from yourselves, that it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And on your best day, you will never be able to compete with the already finished work of Jesus Christ. And I gotta believe there's someone listening that wants to be rooted in Jesus today. I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit differently. If you are rooted in Jesus, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, if this place was suddenly exploded, that you would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would be saved, that you would go to be with God in heaven. Raise your hand if you know that with complete assurance. Amen. God bless you. All right, lower your hand. Now I'm going to ask you to do another thing. Everyone, please keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you are a person who is here today, who has had a hard heart, who has had a shallow heart, who has had a crowded heart, and today you truly want the seed that has been planted today to germinate in good soil. You want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ today. I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah, I see you. Hallelujah, I see you. Hallelujah, I see you. Hallelujah, I see you. I see you, Sammy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, open your eyes. First of all, I want to say this, but pray. But let's give the Lord a hand praise because people raise their hand to receive Jesus today. I want to say this to you, that when you give your life to Jesus Christ, all the angels in heaven rejoice because one who was created by God has come home to him. And when you are in Christ, it says you are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And Pastor Mitch is going to give you some additional information of how you can continue to grow in your faith. But I also want to say this prayer with you for those who raised your hands. You can just simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself. And so today I ask you for forgiveness of sins, and I place my complete faith and trust in you, Lord, for eternal life. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen and amen. Pastor Mitch, I know I'm over time, but I just want to do one more prayer, okay? And this is for the person who might want to rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ. Okay, you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, but maybe there is something that has crowded your heart and you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, or something that has made your heart shallow or even your heart hard, and you want to come back into fellowshipping and just being in that close relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you too, for you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Let me just pray over you. Father in heaven, we just thank you because your word says that anyone who places their trust in you has eternal life. But Lord, sometimes we hit these bumps in the road that causes our hearts to become hard or even shallow or crowded. And there's someone here that needs to come back home to you, who is a son and daughter of you. And so, Lord, I pray over that person today. Lord, you said that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So, Lord, I pray over that person today, Lord, that they will know that they can come to you and that they will be forgiven. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.